Hello, neighbors. This is Pastor Ramsey coming to you from Missouri, and we're continuing on with the exclusivity of Israel. We really don't have that much left. This lesson today is the last one, and then we will be publishing this material in a book form. Most of you have already received it in little booklets, chapter by chapter and subject by subject, so we hope you have learned much and are enjoying the study. Today's lesson is Our Greatest Sin, Balaam's Doctrine. Revelation 2:14, but I have, this is Jesus Christ now talking to his people in Revelation, the churches of Galatia. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. Why is there a doctrine, a sin, in the New Testament that is not ever taught as a subject or preached against? Why is it so carefully avoided? Why is it dismissed by the all are now one in Christ Jesus false argument? It is stated by Jesus as being the doctrine of Balaam, a condemning sin, a sin for which God has in the past and will again kill and destroy his own people. This is found among references to the Nicolaitans and references to Jezebel. We have mentioned Elijah and the 450 prophets of Baal, and there were 400 prophets who sat at Jezebel's table. That makes a total of 850 to one true prophet. In his message to the assemblies of Revelation, Jesus makes something and some remarks about the Nicolaitans and Jezebel, but in this chapter, we are concerned only with the doctrine of Balaam. Jesus immediately refers this matter back to the Old Testament, and he goes on to tell us simply just what Balaam taught. In Revelation 2:14, he says, "But who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." Remember those words, committing fornication. Well, most professing Christians and their pastors say, we do not have any problem with that. We do not eat sacrifices to idols or commit fornication. But this is not true. Our problem is that pastors do not know and therefore cannot teach their flocks the biblical meaning of fornication, which is a sexual sin resulting in worship and service to idols or false gods. Let us have a look and see if we hold the doctrine of Balaam. In fact, either directly or indirectly. We will use the correct word for churches, which is assemblies or congregation, in place of churches. The doctrine of Balaam deals with fornication or whoring after false gods. Israel is described as being a whore when worshiping strange gods. The event that is fornication and leads to the worship of false gods is sexual relationships with people of different races. Let me say that again. The event that is fornication and leads to the worship of false gods is sexual relationships with people of different races. Remember when God told Saul, or Paul, in the New Testament on the road to Damascus, that when he persecuted Christians, he was persecuting Jesus the Christ and God himself. People are joined to their God as one, Acts 9, 4, and 5. Therefore, if you have sex with someone who has another god, you become joined to that person and their god as one. And it is a biblical fact that all other races outside of Adam Israel have other gods, because God is the God of Israel only, stated 199 times in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians 6:15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two has he, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Jesus described the actions in the verse above as a stumbling block a stumbling stone to the children of Israel and Israel only. Jesus is writing to the assemblies, that is, those who are called out of Israel under the New Testament. And he says that some among these hold a doctrine that is false. These are children, that is, they are descendants of Jacob. Eating things offered to idols may not be an issue today in the literal sense, but fornication, which is the worship of false gods, and the mixed marriage aspect are major issues. Immediately when interracial sex or intermarriage is mentioned, there is instant opposition. Those who hold the error of the doctrine of Balaam always oppose anything against it. But what is being quoted above is New Testament doctrine. It is Jesus who is speaking, so please tread carefully. The cherished multiracial concepts and the multicultural ideas might have to go down the drain. We might just have to pull the plug on them. The book of Revelation is not the only New Testament reference to the doctrine of Balaam. Jude calls it an error, and Peter describes it as a teaching of false prophets, being damnable heresies. Now, if this is a heresy that leads to damnation, we had better take heed. If you do not want certain damnation, then no longer hold to this doctrine. That perhaps 90-odd percent of the so-called Christian churches follow this pernicious doctrine of Balaam will not alter the fact that Jesus says, "I have this against you." Are we to believe Jesus, or are we to believe our false teachers? Jude claims that these teachers speak evil of things which they know not, after the error of Balaam. They do not know they are teaching error. This is no minor doctrine, because Balaam appears by name 60 times through the Bible. To be damned for holding the doctrine of Balaam is no minor matter. Well, what is Balaam's doctrine? The story of the hiring of the prophet Balaam by the king Balak to curse the children of Israel is found in the book of Numbers, chapter 22. However, it is not until Numbers 31:16 that we discover the doctrine. In Numbers 31:16, the Bible says, "Behold, these," that is the captured Moabite women, "caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor." In the first instance, Balaam was hired to curse Israel, and God prevented him from doing so. In the end, Balaam counseled Moab to use their women to seduce Israel so that Israel would come to worship the gods of Moab, and thus God would punish Israel for the latter act of fornication. The consequence of Balaam's advice was seen in very short time. In Numbers 25:1, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods." That is what the work of the women is confirmed in verse 18. God's judgment on the offenders was swift. Everyone who had joined to Baal-Peor was executed. Subsequently, when Joshua was rehearsing the history of Israel in chapter 24, he raised the matter of Balaam. Joshua was speaking on behalf of God, who said in Joshua 24:10, "But I would not hearken unto Balaam." This is followed by a warning to serve God and to put aside the gods of the Amorites. While sex with foreign women is whoredom and fornication, the spiritual whoredom with foreign gods followed on their sexual association with the women of foreign races. In Ezra 10:10-11 and Nehemiah 9:2, we see the required divorce of the seed of Israel from the seed of others. This excerpt for fornication was carried out, and even the mixed blood children were excluded in the separation and divorce of foreign wives. "Shall we then hearken unto you to do this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives?" Nehemiah 13:27. The strange and strange wife is Nekria, meaning foreign, as in not Israelite. It was the strange foreign wives that led to the sin of idolatry. Those wives were foreign to Israel, Nehemiah 13:2-3, but hired Balaam against them that he would curse them. "Howbeit our God turned the curse into a blessing. Now it came to pass when they heard the words of the law that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." There is a lesson in that. We need to separate from those other races. The prophet Micah also reminds Israel about this matter of Balaam. Through Micah, God asks tenderly, O my people, what have I done unto you, and wherein have I wearied you? Testify against me, God warns Israel. They have dealt treacherously against the Lord, for they have begotten strange children. Now shall a month devour them. In other words, they had 1 month left before God's judgment would fall on them and destroy them. Then he goes on to tell how he brought Israel out of Egypt and then asked Israel to remember about Balaam. Micah 6:5, O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam the son of Peor answered, that ye might know the righteousness of the Lord. He says that the consequence of interracial sexual activity is a controversy which the Lord has with his people. God will yet plead with Israel. This controversy is over pursuit of the wrong object, contrary to the beliefs in Israel's spirit. Micah 6:16, For the statutes of Omri are kept, and all the works of the house of Ahab, who took Jezebel to wife, 1 Kings 16:30, and ye walk in their counsel. The righteousness of the Lord has a connection with this matter of racial intermarriage, although this is never taught. This matter of righteousness is mentioned in most places where Balaam's doctrine of Horeb by Israel is found. Peter says it is forsaking the right, immediate, straight, narrow way, and are gone astray following the way of Balaam the son of Peor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, 2 Peter 2:15. The prophecies of Micah concern the children of Israel, and he shows the elect remnant that it is to be regathered from Israel only at the end of this age. It is still the children of Israel only, and not any multiracial church. The other nations go up to the mountain of the Lord after it is established, and the other nations learn God's ways, and thus there will be peace on earth. Micah makes this clear. Balaam knew that no man could curse the nation of Israel because there was no enchantment against Israel. But he also knew that God would judge Israel for fornication with the gods of other races. Balaam answered Balak's consultation and advised that Israel could be seduced to worship other gods through sex with Moabite women. Micah says this is to be remembered. It is to be remembered for all time. If the seduction by foreign women is punished by Israelites, for Israelites, then it is entirely consistent that racial intermarriage is equally unacceptable, for the latter is only a ceremonial version of the former. And even if the other races profess faith in Jesus Christ, it does not change the matter, for they do not have and cannot have a spiritual relationship with God. Racial equality, racial integration, and anti-discrimination laws are the modern-day equivalent of Balaam's doctrine. The mixed multitude in our midst can intermarry as much as they like, for there are no constraints placed upon them. The sad part is that God's people continue to put their children in government-dominated schools where they are taught to intermingle. Today's Christians are seduced into accepting and even promoting such tolerant behavior. Every vote for such tolerance is a vote for Balaam's doctrine. When we see it condoned or even put into practice by senior politicians, we know that the counsels of Ahab are still active today. And therefore, we know the doctrine of Balaam is still taught today. Under various racial vilification laws of one form or another, it is illegal to espouse anything to the contrary in most of the Anglo-Saxon world. Notice that it is not illegal anywhere else. It is not illegal to be against race mixing in Asia or in India or the Middle East, not in Russia, not in Europe. Only in the United Kingdom, Canada, New Zealand, and Australia. Challenge any of Ahab's counselors with this information, and you will be told that once the basic human rights issues are resolved in these other countries, loftier issues such as racial tolerance will be next on the agenda. It is a plausible answer, is it not? Jesus says, I have this against you. Repent, or else I will come against you quickly. As it always is through the Bible, Israelites who marry out of Israel are cut off, or those foreigners whom they marry are destroyed or removed. When reading this, please do not suppose that Israel refers to the Jews, because the Jews are most certainly not Israel. Israel refers to the Anglo-Saxon people.